couple of specific issues that keep popping up I'd like you to address. We just got a report that it adds $1 trillion. The Senate version adds $1 trillion to the deficit. I know that deficit is an issue. What's your response?
Well, I think if you look at this and you score it as if there's no economic growth, you have a deficit number that's not realistic. You know, we've been growing way below the 70-year post-World War II average. I think the regulatory relief that the president has led on and Congress has helped on, a sense of what's happening in the courts combined with more competitive tax policy really does put us in a great position to take advantage of the moment we're approaching. You know, what's going to happen in world food demand, what's going to happen in the desire to bring more jobs back to the United States because of security and other reasons. What will simply happen when at least $1 trillion comes back that's stranded overseas because of our bad tax policies, all have the ability to stimulate our economy. And even if we don't get close to the 40-year average, and I think we may exceed the 70-year average, really, you quickly get a budget that's not only back in balance, but a deficit that is headed the other direction for the first time in about 12 years.
And that's saying they're taking into account, at least the Joint Committee on Taxation is taking into account economic growth. So is there any deficit bump that is okay to have with this tax bill?
Well, they don't take into account. One thing they do admit is that tax consequences, that tax behavior, the tax policy has behavioral consequences. They do admit that, but they don't anticipate nearly the growth that I think is likely that we have. They're basically in a world where they're thinking that the last 8 years are the not only the new normal but the new high. And with the regulatory efforts slowing the economy down, with the White House's lack of interest in enforcing our trade policies, all of that has really got us in a stagnant position where families aren't seeing real wage growth. And I just think that's an unrealistic place for the Joint Tax Committee to be or for CBO to be. I am confident that if we pass this tax bill, unless there's some worldwide circumstance that we couldn't anticipate, that we're going to see a significant economic rebound because of this and the other things that are already happening.
Talking about families, over time, if you're making less than $75,000, taxes will go up. Tell me about that. What's your response to that?
Well, I think that assumes that you don't extend these good tax policies at the end of 7 or 8 years or whatever the final window is within a 10-year budget window that generally will have the new tax policies end. If you look at what happened when President Obama became president, he had spent virtually every day in the Senate and every day campaigning and his first term talking about how bad the Bush tax policies were, but was a willing participant in extending well over 90% of them into permanent law. So if you assume that these tax policies go away, that may be true, but I think that's a faulty assumption based on anything else we see. You know, tax law is never permanent. Any Congress can change tax law. And if you want to come up with today's tax policies, at the end of the new tax policies, clearly families would see a tax increase, but they are just as clearly going to see a tax decrease starting in January, and hopefully combined with that, better jobs that in the coming years increase their take-home pay by increasing their base pay. But we're going to see families increase their take-home pay immediately. And hopefully those policies will continue well beyond a decade.
How about state and local tax exemptions? That's been a hot button for a couple of your colleagues. Where do we stand on that, and where do you stand on that?
I think that the House position on that is likely to be the position that we wind up in, which is about up to $10,000 of property tax could be deducted. You have to remember when you're thinking about state and local taxes that 7 out of 10 taxpayers already use the standard deduction, so they get a standard deduction based on what that deduction anticipates their tax structure would have been. We think when you double the standard deduction and double the child tax credit, that about 90% of taxpayers take that as their total deduction package anyway. And so the impact of property tax only affects, in that world, 10% of the people that file a tax form. All of that 10% that pay less than $10,000 get full credit for their property tax. Missouri will be one of the states that benefits from us not continuing to subsidize high tax states and cities like the federal government currently does with its tax policy.
And so other states will have different outcomes. And I know that McMulvaney was saying, well, it's up to those states. How do you feel about that disparity across those states?
Well, what I think what anybody who's talking about this in terms of disparity is talking about, if people want to live in a lower tax state and want to do business in a lower tax state, we've seen that that actually works. If you look at Tennessee, if you look at Florida, if you look at Texas, there's been a huge economic opportunity migration to those states. So people are already saying we'd rather be in a state that has less of a tax burden on our ability to compete. We're sort of in the middle of the pack on taxes, what our goal here should be, if your family makes $70,000 and you live in Mansfield, you should have the same federal tax obligation that if you live in Manhattan. And you've made the choice to live either in Mansfield, Marshfield, or Manhattan, you should, if you're paying those high taxes, there should be something involved that you're getting a benefit that people in lower tax areas don't get. So I think this is just trying to make the federal system more fair based on what people pay into federal taxes and what they get back from the federal government.
We just came back from a series in the Boot Heel where they're hoping to lure industry back in. What will this do? The corporate tax break and all of that, will that help?
I think it helps a lot, because one of our great opportunities where we live is the access we have to international markets, and particularly the access we're going to have to a world economy driven by food and food policy like it's never been before. You know, the estimate is that world food demand doubles between a couple of years ago and 2050. The biggest economic driver in the world on any given day is food. People are going to see that need double. We're unbelievably well located for that, not only for production agriculture, but for food processing, for transportation, for insurance, for identifying where food has been from the moment it leaves the farm until it gets on somebody's table. All of those things, commodity trading, insurance, transportation, all drive the economy in incredible ways, and we need to be ready for that. Where you and I live, Ashley, we need to be ready for that with good competitive federal policies, but also we need to be sure that we're looking at our transportation system, that we're trying to make rail and highway and water all work so that we're competitive in a maximum way. In the Boot Heel of Missouri, there is may not be a place you live where you're closer to inland ports and closer to whether it's Europe, Africa, South America, or Asia, with the kind of products that are going to be at the leading economic growth for the next generation.
What they're hoping
starting right now.
Right. What they're hoping right for now is manufacturing, though, because a lot of the farm growth is not spread. That wealth is not spread because of a lot of automated farm, less farm employment. How about manufacturing?
Well, I think that there are a lot of the security reasons and transportation reasons that people want to bring manufacturing back to the United States. I think good tax policy makes that more likely, a territorial policy, a policy that allows people to bring their money back here. You know, if you look at the money that's stranded overseas now, it's widely believed that at least $1 trillion will come back over the next 4 or 5 years, and maybe somewhere approaching $2 trillion, but a $1 or $2 trillion incentive is a great incentive. And in Missouri, in the middle of the country generally, if you're focused on an economy that's making things and growing things, truly production-based economy, the middle of the country always does better than you than if it's just an economy that's a service economy. We have the transportation advantage. We have the workforce advantage. And I expect to see those manufacturing jobs come back here for a number of reasons, think we'll benefit both the regulatory changes and now the tax changes added to that. I think more certainty that courts are going to determine what the law says rather than what they think it should say, create an environment where people want to invest in this country, and I think the tax policy will be one of the last elements coming together to make that happen.